And there's this certain energy of shoulds. Like somebody starts telling you what you should do, or you start thinking about what you should do, and it like drains you, and you become like kind of sluggish and tired, and like it's like you put the obligation on your shoulders, and you're like, okay, I'll keep doing this thing that I really don't like. Right? There's an energy of that. And we are all energy, right?
Yes. Okay, welcome everybody to the podcast. This is Dr. John Duffy, and I'm going to share a little gratitude with you for a couple of things. Recently, this podcast has made a couple of lists on iTunes. One is new and noteworthy, and one is top charts. I don't know what either of those means, but it's pretty cool to see it there, and so I deeply appreciate you listening. And I suspect you listen because I have guests with a whole lot of wisdom, and today is absolutely no exception. It is not often I sit across from somebody that I consider to be a genius in the most important ways. Today I welcome Gina Murata, the genius guru. Welcome, Gina.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited you're here. I am hoping that you are willing to share with us a little bit of your story, what got you to the place where you are now the genius guru. Where did this start career-wise for you? How did you get where you are? And maybe we can get a touch on what your mission is going forward.
Wonderful.
How did things start?
Yeah. How did it start?
Yeah.
Well, I was an accounting major in college, which couldn't be any more different than what I actually do today.
You know, you and I were both accounting majors, and if anybody could see us right now, you'd think like the last thing either of these people should be doing is accounting, right?
Right. That does not fit our personalities, our natural talents. Right. It was a I would say a logical choice, perhaps.
Always
it
a
was
logical
for me.
Choice.
I was
sure.
Actually decent at it and could work really hard and get grades in that area.
Right.
Yeah. Did you do well or did you struggle?
I did perfectly fine. I was okay at math. I knew what I was drawn to. I remember calling my parents and saying, "I'm going to be a psychology major," and my mother saying with abundant clarity, "Yeah, how about accounting? You're good at math and you can go get a job and maybe one day you can change majors," but they loved the idea that I would be an accountant.
That's where it starts. Somebody told you shouldn't do what you wanted to do. You know, and I can say I'm not a psychologist, but a lot of my work is in that realm. I know a lot about psychology. I've like self-studied it and worked with a lot of my own healers, and I'm always taking notes and learning about it. But that was actually my favorite study in school too, was psychology.
Is that right?
And I just remember the mindset. I don't know who said it to me, but it was sort of like, oh, well, you have to go through a lot of schooling. You can't get a job out of college just with a psychology. There was just this mindset around it, like, don't go there.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's and that's probably true, and we'll hear more from you about this, of a lot of professions, right? That there's some pragmatic professions that people are drawn to, but maybe not for the right reasons, right? Pragmatism isn't always where the heart wants to go.
Exactly. Yes.
So you did not end at accounting, right? You did not go into public accounting or something like that. You went in a very different direction coming out of college.
Yes. So one of the things I will say is I've always been pretty determined to be happy. I didn't have much tolerance for being in a career that didn't feel right to me. My problem was I didn't know what direction to go based on my choices in college, based on what I saw in my family or community of jobs available. Nothing looked like it was what I wanted to do. So I'll get to at some point talking about what I do as the genius guru, but basically I made that up. Like that's based on my talents, right? I shaped something. So when I was looking at boxes to check of like what are my options, I didn't see anything. But what I knew as I was finishing college, and I did really well in college. I was summa cum laude, top of my class. But what I knew was by the time I got to the end of accounting and realized what kind of job that would be, I was like, that's not for me.
That's not going to make me happy.
No, yeah. I was clear I would not want to be an accountant based on I'd met somebody who that was their career, and I could see it was his personality. And I'm like, I'm quite different. I'm much more of a, you know, like an accountant who's their genius and it's what they're great at. Like they really love to crunch numbers and like, you know, be more internal within themselves and analyze things. And I can do those
right.
because I'm smart and college taught me how, but it doesn't bring me joy.
It's a tricky thing, isn't it? When you know you have a knack or a talent for something, or, you know, you certainly have the capacity to do it.
Yes. I would be mindful how you say it. The capacity to do it, right?
Yes.
Because I can do it. And I still in my business now have to do like accounting stuff.
Right.
But I'll tell you, it's some of the hardest things I have to do. Now I realize that. Now I realize how draining and difficult it is for me to do the accounting work. But back then, I was like, oh, I know how to do this. Look at this. Let's go this direction.
Right.
Yeah.
And, but there's a difference between that's something I have an acumen for and this is my thing. This is
right.
where my heart,
yes.
this is where my passion lies.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you realized this very early. You realized, you looked at an accountant and you thought, well, there's a mismatch here. I do not have the passion for this that this person does.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Okay, so where did you go?
Well, so when I was in college, I did have a job in a law firm, and I was working there full-time for a wonderful man who was my first real professional mentor.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of heart and passion. He was a writer. I was a big part of his practice, and he also was always writing on the side. And my father had this dream that one of his children would be a lawyer. My brother was like, no way. My brother had clarity of what he wanted. So I became...
Damn siblings.
I became the one, because I didn't know what I wanted, that... what's that word? Like amenable. Like I was like, well, I don't know what else I want to do. So,
right.
Okay, that direction, I'll go that direction. And I had this job in the law firm, and my boss at the time, who I really respected and honored, you know, said to me, you're really good at this. And we need good lawyers and people with your heart and talent. And he actually even gave me a check for my first year of law school. I mean, he was so generous.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like everything was lining up, like, go this direction. So I went to law school and I became a lawyer. That was my first career.
Yeah. And you were a good lawyer, clearly. I mean,
yes.
you had this man who saw some talent in you enough that he was willing to foot part of the bill.
Right.
I didn't realize that
yeah.
part. That's amazing.
Yeah. And then I got scholarships once I got there. I mean, it was like everything was lining up that it was a direction to keep going. And I was still never sure. Right. I remember after my first year, because it was sort of like, well, I'll try a year, see how it goes.
Right, right. Sure.
After my first year, I, you know, was a little contemplative. I remember I used to have daydreams of like running off to San Francisco and like running a flower shop. Because I was really working so hard, but I was like, oh, that would be really cool just to get out of here and just do something like creative and playful, right?
Yes,
I would have
yes.
those daydreams. And then I remember the day getting a letter in the mail. So unexpected, but it was from my school saying that based on my good grades, I was actually number one in my class first year of law school. Based on my grades, they offered me a scholarship through the rest of school that almost covered all of my tuition. Like there was still some I had to pay, but it was sort of like, well, I guess I gotta keep going. Like, wow, like it's not even a money problem anymore.
Right.
And I didn't even ask for it.
Wow. So the wave is really carrying you.
Wave
I mean,
is carrying
if you're looking
me.
Externally,
yes.
everything's pointing in one direction
yes.
here, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
My father's so proud of me.
Yeah.
Right. I actually started a business in law school where I was meeting really great lawyers and writing and doing writing projects for them. And like everything was connecting and it was a wave, like you said.
Yeah. It actually feels like, boy, that could be the end of the story, right?
Right.
I went to work for a firm and that was that, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I did end up practicing for, you know, finished law school, which was 3.5 years. And then I ended up practicing law in the firm I wanted to work for. I didn't even have to like interview because I had known a lot of lawyers and done these freelancing projects for them. And then the firm I really wanted to work for, they offered me a job. It wasn't even an interview. I'd already done work for them. And they're like, you know, we want to bring you on. So
more external signs that, you know, this is your direction.
Yeah,
this is your path.
Yeah, I was honored to be
sure.
asked to work at that firm, and it was great. So many things about it were going well. However, I did always have in the back of my mind, I'm not sure if this is right for me.
Right.
That
yeah.
was always there.
It was, huh?
Yeah.
So you actually did contemplate that question, because I can't say honestly that I did in my accounting career, but you were thinking about that and you felt dissonance.
Yes.
Yes.
To a degree. I mean, in hindsight, one of the things I could say is that the skills that made me a great lawyer make me a great genius guru. So there were a lot of skills getting honed. In other words, nothing was wrong with this part of my career, even though it's where I didn't end up.
Right.
I think there were a lot of things that were right about it. It just was, I was learning about myself, and I know this is where a lot of your audience is.
Yes.
Like, I was trying to figure out who I am, and I couldn't put my finger on what wasn't working, because again, I was excelling and doing really well. Jim Carrey, the actor, he tells this great story about his father. Ironically enough, his father was an accountant.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right, yes.
And Jim Carrey says about his father, he says his father was as funny as him, right? You know the actor Jim Carrey?
Yeah, I do. Like, yeah, sure. Ace Ventura.
Right. Like hilarious. And he says about his dad, he says his dad was just as funny but didn't believe in himself that he could do it, like he could make a career out of it. Like, right? Like you're saying, like you were told, don't go into psychology, right?
Right.
And Jim Carrey says about his dad is kind of the opposite. His dad was actually, he remembers his dad getting like fired from his job and he wasn't making it. And, you know, he gives this wonderful speech about following your dreams. And he says something like, you can even do bad at a job that you don't like. So you might as well follow your dreams, right?
Wow, what freedom, what brilliance that is, right?
Right. So like I'm one end of the spectrum, right? Like I'm succeeding and doing great.
Right.
And I'm still sort of like, I don't know if this is what I want. And then you've got Jim Carrey telling the story of his dad who's who's in this career that is a sacrifice for him. It's not his best gifts, but he can do it.
Right.
Yet he's not excelling, but he keeps at it. Like both scenarios are where you can find yourself.
Interesting, right? I mean, and it almost suggests like your Jim Carrey story would suggest like, well, you may as well take the leap of faith.
Right.
Because, you know, like why fail at what you hate when you can, when you could thrive at what you love?
Yes, absolutely. And there certainly were lots of people who thought I was crazy to leave something I was so successful at, right? Like, that's hard too, man.
I can't imagine that. I'm trying to picture, like, telling people, you know, like, okay, I've achieved, you know, everything I really kind of pictured. I'm working for the firm that I wanted to work for. Law school was all but paid for. I'll be moving on now, you know? That just doesn't fit the narrative right.
I mean,
right?
The narrative.
There's dissonance for other people
there.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Man. There were other people that were not so understanding, for sure.
I'm sure.
I'll tell you who was great, though. People who knew me really well.
Got it. Yes.
I had a few girlfriends that I can think back about, and They just got it. They just understood. They're like, because there were two phases. There was the first phase of like, you know, oh my gosh, I just feel like, I feel sad. I feel unhappy. I'm really struggling, even though on the outside everything looks great.
Right.
But what was going on was this inner calling, like, I'm supposed to go another direction. I don't know what it is. And there was this phase of, I don't know what it is. Mm. That was really hard.
Yeah.
Because then I felt like something was wrong with me.
Yep.
You know, maybe I just needed to get in line and get with the program. And but friends who knew me were compassionate to that and allowed me to just be in that place.
That must have been invaluable to you, especially when you're questioning, like, you know, boy, am I just missing something? Should I just be biting the bullet here?
Yeah.
To have somebody tell you that you love and you honor and know, and you know, loves you.
Yeah.
To have them say, I think your thinking is right.
Yeah,
here.
You're onto something.
Yeah.
You deserve the life that you really want. Mm. And if this isn't feeling like this is it, then keep looking.
And you cited our audience here, and I picture that's part of your advice for them, right? You deserve the life you really want.
Yes. It's the life that's most meant for you.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, look at Jim Carrey. He probably could have been an accountant like his dad.
Oh, can you imagine?
Yeah, we would have lost out on that talent. Right,
yeah.
Right. I could still be a lawyer. And there's, you know, a lot of great work I've done in my career since I left the law that – that wouldn't have gotten done in the world. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And so, from that point, so you decide clearly to leave the law despite this, what would appear to be a thriving career, right? I assume you're making very good money. And you, your business card looks good, right?
Right, right. I worked for a really great firm. I mean, very well recognized, one of the top criminal defense firms in Chicago. I was working on the high profile cases. I mean, on the outside, it looked like ridiculous, like Law and Order, but like in real life, you know?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So you're seeing your cases in the paper and you're hearing about them and... Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, I have a brother who's a lawyer. I know a number of them, and that's the dream, right? Is to, like, you know, really have some exposure, be known.
Right.
And you even had that.
Yes,
wow.
I sure did.
Wow, right. So you really were deep in that career.
Yes.
Yes. But the dissonance lingered.
It did. It did. And I had to listen to it. The dissonance was just, it was feeling... unhappy, feeling drained, feeling like there had to be something better. And I'm identifying this so that those who are listening, like if you're feeling these things, I want to validate it.
Mm-hmm.
You may have people in your life telling you, it'll go away. It'll be fine. This is just the early part of your career. And they may be invalidating your feelings.
Right.
And I'm sure they have the best of intentions. I think people try to do their best. But if, when I look back, what carried me through to being someone who followed my dreams, it's because I leaned into the right people. I leaned into people who knew me for who I really was, who also were a little willing to be rebellious, you know, and follow their own dreams. Like yeah. They had that edge to them.
Yeah.
Because some people are very much like they want to just go along with like the shoulds of society. You should get married at a certain age. You should have a certain type of job. You should make a certain amount of money. You should get a promotion at this time. Like there's this perception of how things should go in life. And many people follow along with that. And if you're somebody who has a sense in your gut, in your belly, that you want to follow a real dream, even if you don't know what it is yet, like I didn't, listen to that and be around other people who have that kind of curiosity and desire in their life.
I follow that completely. I agree completely. I can imagine that there might be a parent listening or even a 22-year-old listening right now who is thinking, well, but if I'm seeking that kind of confirmation bias, am I missing something that's more pragmatic, that's a path I should be following? Isn't there a should in a career?
Oh, that word.
I use it on purpose. I suspected it might grind your gears a bit.
It does. And whenever I catch myself saying it or writing it, I eliminate it.
Is that right?
Yes.
You're that averse to it.
And I rephrase it.
Mm-hmm.
Should is about some perception outside of yourself. And what I have learned on my journey, how I coach my clients to their own careers they love, it's about what you know inside of you. And should is never a sentence. If that word is in your sentence, it's never going to take you there. It's going to actually take you off course.
Mm, amen to that. That is so very true. Yeah. So linger on that for a second if you're listening. You know, should will take you off course, right? And that, I think that's always true. I'm as you talk, I'm listening and I'm thinking, can I think of exceptions to that? I really can't, you know? I think should closes doors that should be open, that ought be open.
Yes.
Yes.
Agree.
Yeah.
And when I talk, you know, one of the things I'm sharing with your audience is have people in your life that will be more the way you want to be more, let me find the career I really love, let me follow the desires that are within me. You want to, if you're around other people that are that way, they'll ask you questions when you're in conversation, like, you know, okay, I'm trying to figure out the next step here. They should be listening for, if you're saying something in a should, like they should be eliminating that for you.
Right.
And saying, listen, here's what I hear. You're feeling like you have to do that, like an obligation, but is that what you really want?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Instead of, this is what I want for you, kind
right.
of, huh?
Right.
Yeah.
And that became the question I had to really get in there and ask, what do I want?
Yeah. Yeah. So how did you go about answering that from that point? So
yeah.
we're leaving a law firm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had an epiphany about, you know, I was able to quit my law firm and make some money. I had run my own small business when I was in law school. And so I just started that up again. And so it gave me a breather. And so how did I do this? So that's, as I tell this story, let me maybe kind of identify some pieces so you can hear for yourself.
Great.
Once I realized I could leave the law firm, because that was ultimately, it was at, and it hit a point where it was draining me to do that every day. And I had no space to even think about what would I want. I just didn't have the space because that took up all my energy. So I left once I realized how I could make some money. We have to provide for ourselves.
Right.
So I figured out a way to do that. And I call that a transition role. Take the time to figure out how you can make cash. And it could be like work at a Starbucks or a grocery store or, you know, be a server. You know, it could be something like that. Or it could be something that's going to help actually bring you a little more towards what it is that you think you want to do, right?
Yeah.
So get out of that if you can, just to give yourself space to be open and consider what you want. So that's the one of the things, first things that I did.
But that makes so much sense, Gina, because I've wondered about, you've talked to me about the transition role before, and I think I get it a little better now. When you're deep in a career, it is hard to find the time and the energy to think about what would be next.
Yes.
But if you can create a transition for yourself,
right.
you create that space.
Yeah. And that may not always happen as fast as you want. I mean, I've worked with many clients on this. You know, one of my recent clients, we started working together 2 years ago, and probably it was about a year of her feeling a lot of discomfort in her job. But we waited for the right time. So, you know, I'm not also not giving the advice of like, just quit your job. Like, this is an internal deep question to ask yourself. And if the answer is get out of there right now, then that's what you do. And
yeah.
you find a way. But there may be a reason that you're there and a little more experience, even if it's uncomfortable for a period of time. So you've got to really check in with yourself. And so when there was a moment of knowing, okay, I can leave now.
Mm.
And I did. And that was hard. You know, the man who hired me and I was working for, he put a lot of faith in me and invested in me. And, you know, I had to let him know I was leaving. That was difficult.
Oh, right. It must be tough too, right, for somebody who is invested in you just to feel like, oh, I'm going to be letting him down.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
wow.
Yes. Yes. Of course, you know, I had family members who did not understand because they really wanted me to pursue this dream. So what I did was I leaned into the people that were cheering me on, the friends who understood and were a little crazy too, because they also wanted to live their lives fully. I first really started focusing on what would be fun, like how would I actually just enjoy myself, and I'd identify two ways that became valuable. The first is like just literally like what would be a good time to me. Like I just looked for inspiration. And mm-hmm. one of the things that I ended up doing was I was at a concert one night and I was like honed in on this one backup dancer. I'm like, oh my God, she's having so much fun. I love dancing. Oh my God. I want to do what she's doing. And I didn't have this like deep inner sense like I was going to become a dancer. It
right.
wasn't that. I just knew I loved dancing. And so I had no idea, you know, how I could do anything with it. But it just turned out like within a couple weeks, a good friend of mine at the time, another person like following their dreams, he had a small theater company and he was putting together a new variety show production. And I was like, could I choreograph and dance in a skit at your show? And he's like, sure, of course you can.
Wow.
And I ended up putting together, just for fun, this three-part, like, it kind of stole the show. Like, you know, it was like three parts of the variety show. I engaged some friends in it, and we danced, and it was hilarious and funny. And it gave me something to bring me back to feeling happy and joyful, because I just had this fun project.
That's interesting. So in order to make that transition, instead of just thinking like, okay, so what's the career going to be, you thought about like, well, what would bring me joy?
Yes.
And not necessarily, like you said, like, well, I'm not going to be a backup dancer for Madonna or something, but I want to dance.
Yes. And I just followed that.
That's interesting. Fascinating, right? Did you know at the time this might be a window into something else, or did you just think this is going to bring me joy and I haven't felt that in a while?
I think I just followed a sense of, I want to do this.
Yeah, good. Good. Makes sense.
You know, I was like 25. I don't know that I had a bigger sense of, you know, what is this going to really turn into?
Did it work as advertised? Was it joyful?
Oh, it was so fun. It was so fun. And what I can say now in hindsight is that, you know, we were talking a couple minutes ago about shoulds.
Yes.
And there's this certain energy of shoulds. Like, somebody starts telling you what you should do, or you start thinking about what you should do, and it like drains you, and you become like kind of sluggish and tired, and like, it's like you put the obligation on your shoulders, and you're like, okay, I'll keep doing this thing that I really don't like. Right? There's an energy of that. And we are all energy, right?
Yes.
And so you're in this mindset every day of, you know, going into a job you dislike and other people don't really like it either. Right?
Right.
Or maybe the people advising you don't really like their jobs, and so they're giving you, you know, I'll just stick it out, you know, because that's what they're doing. But when you let joy in and fun, you become more alive and energized. And guess what? Magic happens. You start to remember who you are. You were somebody who had no idea what direction you wanted to go in your life. And then you start to remember what you are curious about and what does matter to you.
What do you think you're tapping when you do that? I mean, is this childhood? Is it, you know, kind of like, is it who we've always been? Is it rediscovering yourself? What are we reaching when we find that joy?
I like that you give me multiple choice options. Thank you.
My pleasure.
And I would say it's the tapping into our true selves, like who we've always been.
Yeah.
And the shoulds are like a coat of poop on us that had us not be able to see it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got my attention because I'm kind of rifling through my clientele now and over the years, and how much of that poop they've been covered in, even, and myself, you know, it's so hard when you hit adulthood and you are just covered in shoulds, right? That, you know, that to shed those layers, it takes a certain amount of courage, right? To decide
yes.
I'm going to shed those layers and I'm going to do something that I just feel like doing. Because it seems awesome.
Yes.
It seems like it's going to be a blast.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what Jim Carrey did.
Yeah.
He has a blast. That's what I do now. I have a blast. And when you are having fun, there's this famous saying, Howard Thurman, who was, I think, a philosopher, who said something like the following. Spend your time discovering what brings you alive, because what the world needs is people who are alive. Like, when we bring that to what we're doing, when we bring passion, when we bring vibrancy, we are doing our best work.
Yes. Yeah. That is no small thing, is it? When I think about you and I read about your mission and you talk about it, it's not frivolous. It's not frivolous, just this idea that, you know, like, do what you're passionate about because you're passionate about it. There's a mandate in there somewhere, right? Because you're going to do your best work when you care.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When it matters to you.
Yes. And so there's a reason I'm called the Genius Guru. My business now is about helping people discover their inner genius. What is it inside of them that is their natural talent, their passion? Where do they feel driven to go in life? What is their experience pointing them to? And what ultimately is a higher calling? And all of us have an inner genius. We all do. And the North Star, the guiding question for everyone, I hope colleges begin to catch on to this, and I'm starting to get into that arena. The question is, what is my genius? What is mine? We all have genius. Mm-hmm. I could have kept going as an accountant. I could have kept going as a lawyer. And did I have skills in those areas? Sure, but it wasn't my genius. That's what we're looking for.
This is such an important point to pause on, isn't it? Because that idea, so I'm just going to repeat your words.
Yeah.
All of us have an inner genius, right? You know, I have worked with people, I'm sure you have too, who would absolutely fight back with every fiber of their being on that note, right? And no, that
yes.
probably is true. I know people who have genius, but that's not in me. I'm just a regular Joe. You know, I'm just a regular guy, just kind of making it through. There's no genius here. You would fundamentally disagree, would you not?
Yes, yeah. I would. Albert Einstein has a quote that I always refer to, because Albert Einstein, we all look at as a genius, right? Like
his picture's
the
next genius
right.
in the dictionary, right?
Exactly.
Yes.
And here's what he said. He said, everybody is a genius. But if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it will spend its whole life believing that it's stupid.
Mm.
So you're a client that's sitting across from you saying, I don't have genius. It's because they're trying to excel in an area that is not them. They're like a fish trying to climb a tree.
Yeah.
So they feel dumb. They feel not good enough.
Right.
Because they're in the wrong arena. They're in the wrong area. You know, they can maybe because of education or some, you know, strong will, which is a great quality, they're able to push through, but it's not their genius.
Right. Right. It makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Right. For somebody who's has no idea how to tap that, I suspect that you are invaluable, right? This is your gig, right?
Yes.
Is to find that for people. Is there a Cliff's Notes version for how you do that? You know, like you have a person sitting across from you who feels like, well, I have no idea. I'm probably pretty remarkable at something. I have no idea what it is. Is there a short way to describe how you help them, how you guide them to that point?
Yeah, so there's many different questions, many different angles. Let me give you three questions that
Please.
I find are really a great place to start. And I use these in workshops because they're fun, right? They're not like some big pressure question. I even call it a game to just explore these three things within yourself. So here's the three questions. Number one, think of a favorite childhood game or activity and look at what was a role you loved to play. Number two, what is a subject area you have geeked out over in the last 48 hours? Number three, think of one of your top role models and what do you most admire about him or her? So I'll explain a little bit.
Please.
Okay, why these three questions?
Yes.
Number one, who we most naturally are and our inner genius comes through in childhood in the things that we just love to do. My friend Dawn loved to play grocery store. It was like her favorite game. And she's actually a famous nutritionist now.
Yeah.
Okay. My brother loved to play with flight simulator games, and he geeked out over all the movies back in the 80s, like Top Gun and Iron Eagle. He's a pilot today. That's
no
what
kidding.
He does, right?
Wow.
Now, the things I geeked out over didn't have as easy of a category to put them in,
mm-hmm.
but I geeked out as a child over... my mom was very into empowerment and spirituality when I was, I would say, ages like 10, 11, 12. And I would love to sit and read her books with her. I would sit with her and I would read them, or I would read them back to her. I'd listen to her. And it was all about empowerment and spirituality, which is what I teach people about today.
No kidding. And a child.
A child, yes.
You were interested in this
stuff. Also, man. Funny enough, the other thing, at like 7 years old, I started my own business. You know, the 7-year-old like lemonade stand. My version of that was I was a massage therapist. At 7.
Really?
Yes. And my understanding of that now really is about, like, I wanted to bring healing to people. I wanted people to feel good. And if my family felt stressed over everything, I could use my hands. You know, I couldn't maybe necessarily articulate it at 7 years old, but right. I could put my hands on them and they would feel better. And that's what I cared about, was that people felt good.
Wow.
So it's there. It for some people, they immediately get this question and they're like stressed out. Like, I don't know what it is. Linger on it. Really, like, just let these things come to you. They will be magical.
Without the pressure of, oh, this is going to guide me, right? You know, just think about it. Just play with it. I think your point is, like, these questions are fun.
Yeah.
Right?
If anything, it becomes more of an affirmation of your interests, you know? Like, oh, I used to really like to do this thing as a kid. And it helps you, okay, those are directions I might really want to go.
I love the idea of the playfulness of this. You know, there are... When I was in grad school, we were taught to give people these interest inventories and things that you know, were dry and drab. Yeah. And you know what they're driving at. And effectively, you don't learn anything about yourself. And these are kind of really playful ways to remember, in a way, who you are and what you care about. You know, your 7-year-old self, you know, in a way, you've manifested her now.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question about what you've geeked out over. Here's just the guidance I want to give on that one. We tend to devalue what is our genius. We tend to think it's not that important. We value these things that society says we should. Being an accountant, that would be valuable. If I was geeking out over numbers, that would be valuable. If you're geeking out over video games, if you're geeking out over... you know, what you eat, if you're geeking out over exercise, if you're geeking out over, you know, me, it would be still as an adult, like spirituality books, like whatever that is, give it value. That's guidance for you. If the direction you want to go, it may be a really logical, easy connection of like, oh, if I love this, then if I love, you know, paying attention to the food that I eat, then I want to be a nutritionist. Or it could be more, you just don't know yet where it's going to lead you. Maybe you want to start a food company that's all about healthy foods, or work for a company like that, or go work at Whole Foods in their executive department. I mean, who knows where it's going to take you, but it's a clue. It's a big clue if you've geeked out over something.
And if you ignore that, you miss some big part of your character, right? And we tend to judge sometimes what we geek out over, right?
Yes.
I'm thinking of this week, and I'm thinking like, okay, so what have my clients geeked out over? And some of my young clients, I can name three things right off the bat: the Kardashians, rapping, and video games. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's this Pokemon Go craze, and there is an impulse, I think, to devalue what you geek out over. And yet I agree with you wholeheartedly, right? That's a clue that it might not be, you know, linear, right?
Right.
But there's something in there. There's a reason you're drawn to what you're drawn to.
Yes.
And if we ignore that, we're ignoring this big part of our character.
Right, yeah. Right. Put value into it. And I would say with these questions, like maybe even write them down and, you know, over some time, jot down your answers, because when you get all of the answers together, you might really see some magical connections.
So play with this stuff, you guys, where they put the questions in your iPhone. And when it crosses your mind, you know, something you're geeking out over, write it down. This is some great guidance. Use it.
Yes. And, you know, going back to my own story, this is what I did, is I went on a self-discovery journey to figure out who I was, to figure out what was the next thing. So
So
that's the thing to understand, is that it's going to take some time and it's going to be a process.
No small thing, right? Allowing the process instead of like, you know, boy, I should know. I should know now, and then I should go.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's that should.
Yep.
There's that should.
Yep. Good point. You caught it. You found it, man.
Yes, there's this saying that I've heard that's so great. Don't should on yourself, right? We talked about the shoulds as like poop. Like that
is, man.
It's like poop on you. Ew, get it off. Okay, let's talk about the third question.
Yes.
The third question is I'm asking you to look at who are, you know, top role models for you. And this is where, again, also I want to talk about it because people can get sensitive, like, oh, my role model is so-and-so, but I could never do what they do.
Right, right.
you'd be surprised, right? Like, really look at, like, who do you follow on social media, or what writers do you enjoy, or what people on TV do you enjoy? What people in your life, like you, you know, John, you may have some clients that actually would want to be psychologists or somewhere in the healing realm. They might really look up to you as a role model, right? You become that.
There's some of that that happens. It's always super flattering when it does.
Right, yeah. Right. When I think back to in college when I worked for the lawyer, a big part of his career was writing, and writing is one of my natural talents and gifts. And so, you know, I admire writers. That's something I look at now, and that helps shape where I, you know, when you look at who's your role model and who you admire, it helps you see where you want to go.
Yeah.
And they may be, you may look at them and be like, oh, I could do what they do in a year. Or you might look at what they do and be like, well, it'll take me about 20 years, but I want to do that. That would be amazing.
And if you know, if you can see, if you have some vision, then you've got some energy,
yes.
Right? If you
yes.
have no vision, then you feel hopeless.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And here's the other thing I'll say about it. So just gotta listen to me here on this point, because you might be like Dr. Duffy says, resisting that you have genius. We all do have it. And if you admire something in another person, you admire it because it's a part of you. If it was inconsistent with you, if you didn't have gifts in that area, you wouldn't admire it. It wouldn't be important to you, because there's a lot of people doing nice things in the world that you don't admire.
Right.
You admire it because it's what you have inside of you. So you may not be at their level, but that's okay.
Yep. And so linger on that, guys, for just a second, right? That, you know, because there's going to be resistance to that thought. It's an important one. That, right, if you admire something in somebody else, that there that you carry that. It's in you. Oh.
Yes.
That's big. That's big. I so love the work you do. I feel like you are onto something that nobody I have ever known is onto. And so, you know, I want people to be able to come to you and to find you. How do we find you? How, if I'm listening and I'm thinking, yeah, I feel this all resonates with me, and I've got to chase Gina down and find her and talk to her.
Yeah, well, I encourage your listeners to find their way to connect with me. That is helpful. I have a website, GinaMorata.com. I'm on social media, so I post regularly on Facebook, Instagram, a little bit on Twitter. If you go on my website, you can find my connections to me in all those places. The other thing I would say is I do a weekly newsletter. You can get on my list on my website, where I send out short blogs every week about discovering your genius. And I give tips and clues. You can read past blogs. They're fun and playful. No shooting at all. It's all about how to have fun discovering who you are, what you'd love, and then bringing that into your career. And then also I'll be listing some classes for the fall coming up, you know, helping people in group settings to bring out their genius. So if you get on my email list, you will learn all about when those are being posted.
So get on that list and find Gina and talk to her and tap your genius. Now, for our next podcast, I think I'm going to speak out of turn maybe here a little bit. Gina, I think you've agreed that we might tap your expertise a little bit further.
Yes.
Because we have some questions from my clients and maybe from yours that we are going to address. So tune in next time. As always, you can find this podcast on iTunes at Podbean and Stitcher and WGN Plus. I am so grateful that you've taken the time to listen to us. If you have any thoughts about this podcast, if you'd like to be a guest, or you have some thoughts about what we ought to do, just go ahead and drop me an email at johngduffy@drjohnduffy.com. And that's my website. If you are a parent, on that website, there is a free parenting video series I encourage you to check out. It's fun, it's not dry, and I think you'll like it. Once again, Gina Morata, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for letting me share my story. And my prayer is that it inspires your audience to follow their own inner compass, their genius, and their hearts.
I suspect that's where we're headed here. Thanks again. And thank you for listening. And Gina and I both will talk to you next time. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.